Welcome to Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program. The guest this week, a charming young man with a ukulele in his hand. It's John Long! And welcome to everybody's favourite podcast, Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast programme with me, Ollie Bettesworth. And my guest this week is a very funny musical comedian and all-round great chap, John Long. He's a lovely guy, a very funny comedian. I've enjoyed his stuff for a while now. I've been gigging with him for the last couple of years, and he's a friend of the show, not least because halfway through our first session of recording, the mics cut out, or rather just my mic cut out. So for the remainder of the recording, it was just John. But he very kindly agreed to come back and do a second session. So the episode is slightly longer because it was a mixture of two sessions. So he is the first official winner of the Ollie Bettesworth Downloadable Weekly Podcast Programme Participation Award. That's about as much fanfare as that deserves, but he was a terrific guest on both occasions. I won't carry on talking for much longer because it's a long episode and you don't want to hear me rattling on. You want to get to John Long. Delicious. So please do enjoy this week's episode of the Ollie Bettesworth with John Long as we discuss music, dancing, positivity, and John's apparent trauma over the newest Ghostbusters movie. Enjoy. Musical comedian John Long, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. Feels weird now, we've been talking for about an hour.
Hey, don't ruin the illusion.
Oh, sorry.
The audience are under the impression that you've just walked in wordlessly to a dimly lit room. You've sat down in the chair, we've clicked record, and I've said, musical comedian John Long has come.
Thanks for having me.
How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel nice.
John Long, when you're performing,
yeah,
and you're doing your musical comedies,
yeah,
and it's going very well.
As it, yeah.
How
as it often does.
Much, that's arrogant, how much of a percentage would you put towards your boyish good looks and, frankly, overwhelmingly charming persona?
Well, you think that's accounting for the lion's share?
No, I'm asking you.
You seemed to, you were. It was a bit of a leading question, wasn't it?
It's a question you wouldn't ask. I in the seat, I wouldn't have opened with that question. No.
If you were interviewing yourself.
If I was interviewing myself,
not your opening question.
I'd be saying, the technology really has come on a long a long way.
Yeah.
And then I'd fulfill a lifelong ambition, which is to beat the living hell out of myself.
Yourself.
But that's a sort of
sadomasochistic
kind of fantasy that we probably shouldn't go into particularly early.
And the fight would go on for infinity, wouldn't it? It'd be one of those problems.
We'd be equally matched.
We'd be equally matched in every way.
No, but presumably we both die at a certain point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be infinity unless we were both immortal in this scenario as well.
Yeah. Okay.
John Long, you've derailed.
Yeah, well, I was trying to. What I was trying to do is try and avoid that question. I was doing it quite skillfully.
What do you. Do you find.
Do you genuinely think that counts for anything? Because I don't.
This is not the place for genuine thoughts. I think it's a hindrance,
if anything.
Do. Okay.
To some people, not all, but certainly.
So, okay, first of all, inherent in that is you're admitting that you do have boyish good looks and overwhelming charm.
I don't know about boyish good looks. I have boyish looks. I sort of look kind of harmless and kind of non-threatening, I think, and a bit. But I don't think I look. But I don't think I have a look that goes funny, man. I don't have a funny face. I don't think I've got.
Laugh at you on the bus?
People don't laugh at me on the bus. They find me incredibly tedious
on
the bus.
My
people don't
goes
get
out
any
to you.
Of my witty observations about. You know, stops things.
Did you just make these observations out loud?
Out loud, you know, to the bus.
Well, it's because you haven't got the mic there and they don't understand the context. It's very important.
No, I have one of those little marsh lamps you clip on your belt.
Oh!
Carry one of those around. I was doing it long before those guys on the tube. Just do it on my way to work.
Would you like to name those guys and start some beef?
Start some beef? I can't remember who did it on the tube. Was it Chris Joyce and Leo and... No, they had the original idea. That was very good. I did want to do that, though, because I do that on the bus anyway.
So difficult to start beef on this podcast.
I know you want to start beef.
Because people start off with a little thing that maybe we could start some beef on, and then as soon as I bring up beef, they go, oh, no, it's very funny, and they're very original guys, and they're all terrific, and they're just masters. Masters of their craft, each and every one of them. Terrific guys. Love them. Lads. Oops. Bants.
Yeah, because those particular guys were nice guys who... I don't mind. I don't want to start a beef. But give me someone I don't like. You
okay.
Know,
all right. Well, name one.
Name one. I'm not going to start one. I've got no... But if you wanted to, you've got to pick a better target than people I like.
I shall rack my brains.
Rack your brains. I'm sure there's someone.
Percentage, please, John Long.
Percentage, please. I don't know. I don't think it counts for anything.
You don't?
No, I don't think so. I think people... Well, especially if you're doing a set of any length, people are going to judge you on your content, mate. Come on.
If you...
Come on, mate.
But if you go to a gig...
Yeah.
And it's a majority young lady audience.
I don't get it.
Do you think, it's going to be a stormer?
No, I don't. Well, I don't
gonna
get
going to wet some knickers tonight.
I knew you were leading up to some joke about...
Knickers.
Well, I thought you were going to say wet seats or something.
I probably overloaded the mics over that.
You have done. You're going to have to cut that out, mate. I don't think it, no. I don't think that is a comedy going audience. I don't think teenage girls... I did do once, right? Here's the thing. I went to... When I was... one time at the a gig, this guy came up to me, this young guy, he was at the Gong Show, and he was like 18-year-old guy, full of energy and beans, Irish guy, came up to me.
Ugly? Good looking?
No, good looking young guy. He looked like a kind of T4 presenter. He had like, he was rolled up sleeves, loads of tattoos of like Batman logos. And
cool
looking
cool
dude.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Cool dude, North Irish, gift of the gab kind of thing, long hair. And he came up to me and was just saying how much he was just getting into comedy, and he'd heard this was a good gig to do because, you know, if you win it...
He heard wrong.
If you win it, you can get on the Comedy Store, and I'd like to do that, so that's why I'm here, you know. And I just did Reading, and he was kind of a gabby guy. And then he went on and was awful and got kind of voted off. But he told me to get on contact with him. He was a lovely guy. And he said, come on my radio show. And he came to his radio show and he goes, my fans really like it. It turned out he had thousands and thousands and thousands of Twitter followers. He was very famous online. But one of these people that have just sort of famous on Twitter, not in real
life. Right,
right. But there was...
Frauds.
And him and a few mates, I don't know how many of them were bought as well. I know you can buy Twitter followers sometimes. So I think there was a bit of that going on as well. So it was like 100,000. It's ridiculous.
Mm.
And him and three mates decided, who were all Twitter famous for different things, decided to put together a show called 50 Shades of Internet Fame, it was called. And it was about, supposedly, what it's like to be internet famous. They put it on a little theatre, Baron Scott Theatre, it was about a 50-seater. He asked me to do warm-up. I thought, this is going to be hilarious. So I did, because I'll get paid a little bit.
Mm.
So I went to do warm-up for them, and apparently he was going to do comedy set for, I think he was going to do half an hour. And a guy musician.
No, but in front of his fans, though, his Twitter fans.
Yeah, well, this is it. But what he realised was that there was no... That these don't translate to people who could come out to events.
Oh.
He couldn't get... He had all the... Between them, they had something like 500,000 Twitter followers, between the three of them, these guys.
And none of them left the house.
And this was... They put on four shows, not loads, at a 50-seater venue.
Yeah.
And I think they... The first night was kind of... 30, 40 people.
Oh, that's not bad.
Second night, 34 people.
34, that's fine.
Then the second night...
Or do you mean one 34-year-old?
No, 34 one-year-olds.
Okay.
And it was really weird.
Turns out there was all babies following him on Twitter. Didn't know what they were doing, just pouring
just
at the
phone.
Just
like the lights, he just moved quick and, yeah. Mm. No, and then the second night was like 15, then at 5, and then whatever. And it was
bad word of mouth, that's what that is.
And I had to perform to them, and it turns out that...
For all four shows?
For all four. And I saw it was the only chance I've got to play to kind of teenage girls who people keep saying, oh, you'll do well with the teenage girl, whatever audience. Teenage sort of girls that were there with like, had been taken there with their parents, hate me. It was, they don't get comedy. They're on their phones the whole time and they don't seem to...
Did you take your shirt off?
I didn't take my shirt off, no.
Well.
But that's not what they want. They don't want comedy. So I don't think comedy going audiences discern that way. I don't think, I'm not a musician.
Okay, put it another way. When you see, and you go to a gig,
yeah,
and you see there's a whole bunch of sort of 40-year-old mums,
Okay, now, think, now.
Hello, big bucks. I am going to have the performance of a lifetime.
I would say that was a much better audience to pay for. I do, and I... But I get, they think, oh, I get on with that demographic anyway.
I'd love him to shag my daughter.
No, I get on with that demographic anyway because...
You relate to them.
Yeah.
Because you're also going through menopause.
Well, my mum's mates were all always around at kind of that age.
And she's, yeah, I've got that.
And...
That particular thing.
I get on with them. And also who I work with as well. All the people I work with are all the majority. It's like seven of us in the office. There's a couple guys, but most of them are women who are like kind of middle-aged. So
yeah,
sort of
they're
40.
The best kind of people,
and
aren't
we
they?
Get on great. So I actually get on with those people quite well. I think they kind of get maybe sometimes get a bit of a mother instinct because I look quite young. But so maybe get a bit of sway. But then I do swear. I'm a little bit rude. I'm not clean. So I don't know if I deter. But I think they like... and I tread that line a little bit. So maybe they do get... That is a demographic I could go after. Mm-hmm. Like try and actually... Because they do go to comedy.
Get on Mumsnet.
Mumsnet. Yeah, well, actually, it seems like loads... They go to comedy a lot.
Start pitching, like doing threads on Mumsnet. Start doing a few more.
Not Mumsnet, because they're all new parents. They're not going to come to comedy because they've all got young, they've got paper, a babysitter.
What are the websites for mums whose daughters are old enough for you to fornicate with?
I don't think there is one. Well, apparently they're in my area. I keep getting told.
What, the mums?
Yeah, the mums.
You're getting some weird notifications.
So many people in my area, apparently. Seemingly. I have Southfield seems like, by all accounts, a randy place. From the internet's perspective. Not from a pedestrian view. But behind closed doors. I believe it. I believe everything everyone ever tells me. So you should know that about me.
Oh. How long have you been doing this comedy game?
3 years.
3 whole years?
Yeah. Well, it was 3 in May. Mm-hmm. That was a weird cough, wasn't it?
I was hoping you were going to say longer.
Longer? No. And I've been doing musical comedy about a year.
Oh, what did you do before?
Really middling stand-up. Sort of okay stand-up.
Okay.
And for the large part of it...
I wasn't aware of that. I didn't realise you didn't... Always do.
No, yeah, for the large part I did.
You're one of these ukulele types, aren't you?
I didn't show you what my hates were in advance of this.
It's too early for this. We're just still doing the initial grilling.
All right, we'll put a pin in that for later, maybe. I won't delve too
much. The answer to this charge.
But, no, I'm not. At the moment, I'm not.
I've seen you up there.
Shall I give you the history? Breakdown, and you can tell me if I'm a ukulele comedian or not.
Okay, go on then.
Right, it's treading into territory of stuff I want to cover later.
That's
but,
all right. That's
right.
Fine.
So 3 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So two of that, just doing stand up, right? Oh, actually, no. When I first started, my first ever gigs were with guitar. Did a song. It was about Fitchhead's Grey.
Oh, so you're one of these guitar comedians.
Yeah, exactly. Stopped doing that after like a few gigs because people were telling me musical comedy was
poops.
Shit.
Poops.
So I started being like, yeah, I want to be a stand up. Did stand up for like almost 2 years, right? To kind of okay in that period as well. Sort of doing okay, but also that was back when I was.
And then you saw that advert that I don't know whether it was for a dating site or what, but there was a really cute guy with a ukulele on it. And then you thought,
big bucks. You know, in cartoons when their eyes become dollar signs.
Yeah, and it goes like, bring! Yeah,
that happened, and then that changed everything. No, and then I had to do a night where you have to swap over. They go, okay, it's called Swapsies. It ended up being really awful, but as a
right.
But the one good thing came out of it. You got paired up with another comedian who was very different to you, and you had to swap around and write for them, and they write for you. I got given Jay Foreman, who was a very good musical comedian. And he wanted to do stand-up for the first time, and I wanted to do songs for the first time, but we didn't have the time to get together and write for each other. So we said, well, should we just write our own stuff, but swap styles? So you just write a stand-up bit, and I'll write a music bit. And he said, brilliant. And he did help me a little bit. He said, like, what sort of things have you got that you were thinking about writing about? I gave him a list, and the recycling sort of story I told him, he said, that one. That's the best one to put to songs.
Right, right.
So I went and put that to... I wrote a song, performed it at that night, and everyone went, oh, that's really good. But the only thing I had was a ukulele, because my stuff was in storage. My guitar was in storage by this point.
Everyone with a ukulele has got an excuse for why they've got a ukulele.
And I had a ukulele, and I didn't realize.
But nonetheless,
I didn't realize they were so hated, right? Because they are. They're ubiquitously known as like the cunt stick, I guess. People hate them. People despise them. When I did do that, I had that one song, and the rest of it was stand up. And people would say to me, "That was really. I thought you were going to be so shit when I saw the ukulele, and that song. I didn't hate
that
song.
So that's why you do it, to lower expectations.
Maybe, I don't know. But then after a while, it was purely ease, because the only fucking instrument I had, because it was small. Then I thought, right, well, I'm going to have to get rid of it because people hate them so much. Because, like, one guy went round, bought 100 ukuleles so he could do a joke which went, I've got a song about ukulele comedians. Get out ukulele, play one chord, and then go, ah, and smash it on the floor.
Right.
And he bought 100 so he could make that joke night after night at open mic nights. So people Fantastic. Really hate it. And he did once when I was on the bill afterwards with a ukulele, still at that point. And he did, lovely guy, did come up to me and say, I should tell you, I won't do it if you don't want me to. And I said, no, go do it. And he did it before me, then I came on. It was like,
yeah, but I can imagine you can make a joke out of that quite easily.
I did make some joke about not lending Carl my ukulele again.
Yeah,
And then pulled out another one. But I thought, I have to get rid of it because people hate them so much. But I still didn't have any space. So I bought a thing called a guitarlele, right, which is this... It's a size. It's got like a sort of, the body is the size of a ukulele, but the neck.
You're still in the territory.
I know, but the neck, right, is a guitar neck. It's got 6 strings. It's not a ukulele. It's not got the thing that people hate about ukuleles, which is easy to play, so anyone can pick it up and any twat can try and write a song.
Yeah,
that's what it represents. It represents a bunch of people going, it's an easy instrument to pick up and play 3 chords on, so people will think.
And you get pussy because of it.
And that's, you know, it's that's famous, the main reason. It's famous pussy magnet is the ukulele orchestra of Great Britain drowning in it. Everyone knows that.
You know that film Her by Spike Jonze with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson.
Do you know, I never watched it. I did want to watch that, but
it's
didn't.
It's a very good
it.
Film. You I know did. The shittest bit of it?
What?
Joaquin Phoenix gets out a fucking ukulele.
Yeah, okay. I sat
there on the bed for no reason.
I know.
The whole film is tarnished because of that. Seen the film Blue Jasmine?
Because people play it wrong. A ukulele is a fast rhythm instrument. You go, it's fast. And people play it. And it's become synonymous with that kind of kooky.
Wooing ladies.
I know, but it's, and that's not how I played it anyway. I played it
Have
like
you
a
never wooed a lady?
Eddie Van Halen. I was shredding. It was complex, sort of chromatic chords in there. No, it wasn't. But anyway, I got rid of it. I got the guitar lady because it was half size of a guitar.
Mm.
It's easier to carry around if you're living on a couch, as I was. And then people still going, ukulele, ukulele, ukulele. So eventually, when I did move and had a place I could put something, I bought a sort of guitar. I still bought a sort of journeyman's guitar that I saw Mitch Benn using that he recommended. And I was like, okay. Oh, and it's, but now it's finally gotten over that. But people hate it. People, it really... Anyway, so I've been doing...
But you're still using the ukulele.
I don't use the ukulele. I use a guitar.
I saw you use the ukulele.
Your last... Crown the Knave?
Yeah.
That's a guitar, mate. It's a 3/4 length guitar.
I was at the back.
It's got 6 strings. It's got...
It's pretty small.
It's 3/4.
It's not
the
big
size.
Enough.
It's slightly smaller.
I want a full-size guitar. That's the only way I'm going to let you off.
It's not convenient, mate. I don't... It's a ball ache.
Comedy's not about convenience. It's about not upsetting me because I think I've seen a ukulele.
But this is a point that I was going to make, that people really...
What is that? We better go into
snobbish.
This. What is the hate?
People are really snobbish about musical comedy in general, right?
And that's one of your hates.
It's one of my hates. And I want to read you a quote, right?
This okay. is by I've come prepared. I like this.
Just right. So this is a quote from a comedian we both know.
Mm.
Yeah? You ready?
Okay.
Okay. It's a crutch. Yes, you can play guitar. Well done. I can juggle. I'm not going to start juggling between jokes. I've got integrity. That's a genuine quote.
Isn't that a quote from me?
It's a quote from you, yes, about musical comedians.
Is it that a quote from me in the trailer for Lawrence and I's show?
Exactly.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
But I didn't mean that. That was part of a skit.
I've heard that sentiment seriously from people. Not in a skit. But that's the point, do you know what I mean? That
so you thought you were going to be clever by coming in here, sitting in my kitchen, quoting me out of context.
Not out of context? How's that out of context?
Because you haven't said it was part of a comedy routine between me and a musical comedian.
It wasn't. It was actually voyeur. It was shot from a voyeur's perspective, so you didn't know
you misunderstand cinema, sir.
No. But do you know what I mean?
And I think you've misquoted it.
Yeah, I completely made most of it up. What I took was, I had it in my mind that you'd
I can
that.
Juggle.
I know, but what I've done there, you see...
Only 3 balls, and everyone can do that.
I had it in my mind, because I'd seen it ages ago, and I had in my mind you slagging off musical comedians. Jokingly, I knew you were joking. Mm. And so I thought, what I'll do is I'll write down what he wrote. But then I listened back to it, and you didn't say hardly anything. You were rubbish. So what I've done is I've taken bits of it. You did say it's a crutch at one point, and I've read it in a serious tone and put it all together, and I'd hope that would... I will make you into the monster. But you've called me on it. Fair play, mate.
I don't need your help to make me the monster.
No, I know. I should give you enough rope.
And you do, second of all, I do think in some instances it is a crutch.
That's what I mean. But what I mean is you were joking and it was a skit, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I could tell you weren't joking in the way you delivered it. There was a little bit of you that was like, I'm a very good actor. No, there was quite a bit of you that was like, I'm enjoying being allowed to say what I really think here.
Yeah, well, I'm just.
Do you not think, like these people do, that a little bit of going, but it's harder with just your voice, that kind of thing?
No, I think.
But people do.
I think there's a difference. It's not that it's easier.
Well, there's your rabbit, by the way.
That is my rabbit. Yeah.
I've been waiting to see it. No, her. For him.
It's Busby.
Busby.
He is a pussy hound. Let me tell you. He chases the cats around the balcony because once he managed to get on top of one of them.
Oh, really?
And he's never forgotten it.
That's the ride of his life.
And now, every time I see the cats, he runs over to them and they start batting the shit out of his head.
Oh, mate.
But I kind of admire his game.
I don't like it.
He never gives up.
Busby. Yeah. He knows.
What was I saying?
You were saying...
I don't think it's easier, but I do think that just in the moment we're about to go on stage...
Yeah.
A comedian who can play guitar has got a little... Just in that moment before he goes on stage, he knows he at least can play guitar. He's going to be able to play guitar.
Yeah.
And people find that impressive. People find playing guitar impressive in a way that people don't find being able to do stand-up well impressive in the same way. Lots of people do, obviously, but the ability to play an instrument is valued much higher than the ability to be funny on stage. You're quite a good comedian and a mediocre guitar player, people will probably think, oh, that guitar playing, like, he can play guitar, I can't play guitar.
But you see me, I play very rudimentary.
I'm not critical, don't stop taking it personally. I'm just talking generally about musical comedy.
I'm not flashy.
Because what I would say about you, John Long,
yeah.
if to be momentarily complimentary in a way that makes me entirely uncomfortable.
Buzz me, you listen to this?
I don't generally enjoy musical comedy. But I do really enjoy your musical comedy, genuinely.
Thank you, Ollie.
And I, annoyingly, but also, it's sometimes annoying in the way that songs that won't get out of your head start to annoy you.
Yeah.
I still quite often will suddenly just hear the recycling song, for example, or Fuck Joggers or whatever. Mm. And it will just be, because I think you write songs that aren't just... funny songs that no one would ever want to listen to outside of a set. They're nice little songs. They've got a melody to them. They've got... You've tried your best. And it shows. And if I could think of something insulting...
Negative.
Your body odour is bad.
Yeah, no, that's...
And we're back. So don't take it personally, but if a comedian goes on stage... And they've done a little song, and it's quite a mediocre little bit.
I know, but...
But it does get bolstered by the fact that there's music to it. People go, ooh!
Okay.
Even if you said those jokes without the guitar, people would be like, that is shit.
No!
That is a shit joke.
That is not true. If I said my hand grenade joke without music...
Why are you applying it to... You're an egomaniac, John Long. You're acting like...
I'm talking about you.
We're talking about musical comedy
right
now.
Stop flitting between the two, because then I forget which one
you're talking about. I said a whole bunch of nice stuff to try and set you at ease, and then I went back to talking generally about...
No, okay.
I didn't say that your song, your recycling song, if you said those jokes out loud, people would say it was shit.
Yeah, but you're talking too generally, because what you're talking about is
that
bad
would be irrelevant
comedy.
Because you've written a song. It's a song, and it if you said them out loud, it would be less impressive, because if you said lyrics of a song out loud, they'd be less impressive.
Yeah, that's true. Whoever do that. Never read lyrics as you listen to music. It was so depressing. But it's just what people say. Always say the same thing you just said, which is, I don't usually like musical comedy, but I didn't mind you, or whatever. But they say about all of it. So anytime you see the reviews of, like, the Musical Comedy Awards throughout the years, it's always started with the proviso, I don't like musical comedy generally, but actually... these were all, well, one exception maybe, whatever, all pretty good, and actually showed that they were very diverse. And basically people would say, people think they hate musical comedy because they've seen like one bad musical, because they remember one.
I've seen a lot of musical
comedians. And it
tarnished
loads. Really loads, and the majority were bad. I think they've got a majority, high...
No,
exactly the same ratio
not
as in
bad,
stand-up.
Not bad.
I think exactly the same ratio
not
as in
bad. Stand-up. I'm not saying it's bad.
No, okay.
Not for me.
Not okay, here's my only thing, is that I know there's bad musical comedy. I know that it's cheap parodies that are very simple. But then for every one of those, there's an incredibly inventive, bizarre alternative parody like Katie's doing, or some weird thing that someone's doing, or something quite conventional still, with just a guitar, that's inventive still, I think. Or I just think of a song as just a way of getting out 20 jokes really quickly.
I suppose.
And why is that frowned upon? And also ukuleles. Here's my thing about ukuleles: why they should be accepted sometimes, because just this. So take Jonathan Hearn as my example of why you should accept ukuleles. Jonathan Hearn is fantastic. I think I've seen his show. Have you seen his show?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's absolutely brilliant from beginning to end, and it's so many layers and things to it. One part of it for about 5 minutes is a song. I think he has one song, which is very good.
Mm.
But if he wants to do that hour regularly, he should not have to lug around a guitar for that tiny bit. So he just gets a ukulele and it's shit and it's that thing, but it's a hilarious song and no one cares. But so there's always going to be exceptions, but ukulele in particular, everyone sees ukulele and goes, fucking shit. Mm-hmm. But Chris Timoney plays ukulele, he's incredible. There's another guy, there's a bunch of really good ukulele. Rosie Holt's very good, she plays ukulele. First thing is,
yeah,
music.
Maybe that's part of the problem people have with musical comedians, is when they see someone that they like who is a musical comedian, they might not put them in with the musical comedians.
Yeah, they don't.
They go, yeah, that was good, but musical comedy's still shit.
I'm just saying, discern in the same way that I see countless shit stand-up comedians all the time. I don't still hate stand-up. I don't.
Care to name them?
Yes. Here, start from A to. Do you want to do A to Z?
Yes.
All right. No. I did. Why did the name come straight away? Okay. Anyway.
John Long, we're back after the musical interlude. Now, if we sound about 2 or 3 weeks older, there is an explanation for this, so don't scratch your heads. The previous recording, from which the previous section was from, which the mic cut out, or rather my microphone cut out. So we did have the lovely John Long chatting away.
So what did it sound like? Was it just...
It was just quite an eerie recording of you talking to yourself.
Right.
So you'd be like, yes, that's right, Ollie. I've always hated musical comedy and I think it's despicable. Yes, I know. It's strange, isn't it? But that was a very, 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 very funny comment, Ollie. You're always a joy to talk
You're
to.
You're quoting verbatim,
eh? Yeah, that was from... that's what you would be listening to.
That, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. So now we're just basically just going to retread the old ground.
I can't remember. So, yeah.
You very kindly agreed to come back again to Mitcham, of all places, to do a second session.
I know.
So I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
It's going to make being
Diwali as well.
Sort of passive aggressive and cruel towards you for the rest of this section quite difficult.
Yeah, but I know.
I will find it within myself, I'm sure. Now, we, I think. From my recollection, I asked you last time about the fact that you are dating on the comedy circuit, aren't you?
Yeah.
Who are you dating, John Long?
I'm dating also another musical comedian as well.
Yep. And what's her name?
Her name's Katie Pritchard.
Now, how's that going? How is it?
It's good. Don't know why I sound defensive. Why did I sound defensive then?
I don't know. Why did you?
I don't know.
We'll point out that I'd like you to try as much as possible to mirror your responses from last time.
I'm trying desperately to think. That's why I'm sounding...
You didn't say it was good last time.
I definitely did.
You said it
I'm
was...
I'm trying to remember what we...
I think you used the phrase Trouble in Paradise before. You sang it. You sang the song. Is there a song?
Trouble in Paradise.
There must be a song.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful, actually. A lot of people warned me against it, weirdly. Mm. Not actually after it happened, just before.
Don't shit where you live, son.
That kind of thing. Mm. Never after. No one was ever callous enough to come up to me after
you do,
hearing.
Think about it. You do actually shit where you live. Where else are you going to shit?
I know. Who goes shits?
I mean, you also shit where other people live.
Goes for a trip,
sometimes.
Trip for that.
On a visit.
Yeah, you do. Shit with other people.
Go around for tea. You're going to probably take a shit in that time.
Most of the places I shit are also where people live.
Yeah. So everyone shits
things.
Where everyone lives.
Yeah, or eats.
It's a stupid phrase.
It is. But it's it's absolutely brilliant. There's no, I can't see a downside. The downside, I imagine.
What's happened over the last 2-3 weeks that means your answer's so radically different from?
No, it's pretty much the same. I think it's great, and that the only reason why people are down on it.
I think you cried last time. There was a bit. You started to sob a bit.
I did well up a bit.
It was very eerie because
you
couldn't
tears.
You couldn't hear what I'd said to provoke it, so you just it was just spontaneous tears.
Aww.
Sobbing in the
I
abyss.
I need to get a copy of that. I'll turn it into some sort of weird avant-garde project I'm working on. I'll just take clips.
But I'm glad it's going well.
It's going great. Although she's in Edinburgh at the moment. That's why at the moment it's not very good. It's because she's in Edinburgh and I'm stuck
why
here, so it's a bit lonely.
Missing the cuddles.
Yeah. And the rats had to
I can come around.
Away at the same time.
I can come around.
Yeah, why couldn't you?
I'm quite good
men
at
don't do that enough, I don't think. Male
cuddles.
Friends. Just occasionally.
Get in bed.
Yeah.
Strip down to your boxes. Cuddle time.
No, clothed cuddles.
But clothed.
But would you not, if I said to your mate, oh, girlfriend's away, you wouldn't want to come watch some Netflix and cuddle me a little bit?
Well, no, you don't. You'll never know until you ask.
Well, I'm asking now.
Yes.
I'm lonely.
Well, okay.
That's kind of why I agreed to come back to
when
this
flat twice.
Take a hint, Ollie.
When is your gig finished this evening? Because I could just
pop round,
cuddle you to sleep if you
it's
like.
It's quite an early one, I think. It starts 7, it'll be over by 10. I'll be home at 11 if you can meet me there.
Little John, close your eyes and go sleepy bears. That would be nice.
That would be...
Not at all creepy.
Not...
Very soothing.
It is very soothing. I can see why. Yeah.
So she's a musical comedian. You are a musical comedian.
Yep.
What's that like? I can imagine it's just crazy at
it's
home.
Crazy.
Where do you come up with your stuff? Do you ever have a? Oh, I'm going to write a song about that. No, it's mine. Those kind of things.
That's
the little scrapes.
Quite a bone of contention. It does happen quite a lot. It's quite serious.
She wanted to write a song about the recycling plant, and you were like, "Well,
I know.
I do work there. It's my job."
It's weird that you. Keep turning up there with a notebook,
yeah.
jotting down ideas about how you can turn it. This is my life. I think one time it did happen that we both had an idea that we couldn't remember who came up with first. We had to ditch it.
Really?
For the sake of it, just felt better that
for
way.
The sake of the relationship.
Yeah, because we were both going, no, you do it. But then both of us sort of like, I just went, drop it, it'd be easier. That happened like once, and I think in hindsight, it wasn't a very good idea.
No. Probably not if you both came up with it, right? Come
probably
on.
Not if you both came up with it.
Ridiculous.
Too obvious, mate.
Mm.
But we're very different sort of styles and things. I think when I met her, she was very much a musical comedian. That's what she did. She did songs on a ukulele. And then now I think people... I guess she is a musical comedian because there's music in it, but you saw her show.
Very good.
It was fantastic, but I don't know if I would say that's a musical... an hour of musical comedy. Although there was music, I don't know.
There was music more or less constantly throughout.
Yeah, there was, I suppose. I guess.
But there was
but it's
a lot,
so
it
much
wasn't,
more than that in a way. I do feel. I feel sometimes it's quite
theatrical as well.
Yeah, I think of it more as just theatrical comedy.
It's a one-woman show.
It's like a one-woman show, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. Mm. It's rather than I would call it. Yeah. Whereas I'm with a guitar, and it's very much just conventional, kind of much more traditional, boring.
Yeah, I'd say.
Jasper Carrot.
Snoozeville.
Snoozefest.
Seen it like a million times.
Oh, mate. Another one.
Yeah, another one of these dipshits with a ukulele, as we covered in the first section.
Ukulele, mate.
Yeah, you do. We all know. We've all seen it.
It's over there. There's I can point to my guitar.
That's a
right
ukulele.
Now.
He's pointing to. He's pointing to rather large ukulele that he has
with
in the
strings.
Corner. Ding, 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 ding. That's you.
That's a banjo, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think you're a lovely couple. And
thank
have you heard of the term to ship?
No.
To ship a couple. It's a cool YouTube piece of terminology.
Oh.
When you ship people, it's not creepy. Nothing creepy about it. It's just you sort of watch. From afar, you sort of watch either a fictional or a non-fictional relationship, and you think, "Yeah, I like that. I hope that's that. I hope they turn out good."
Is that a genuine
carry
phrase?
On there? I'm into it. Yeah, no. I totes ship you, dudes.
That's
it's meant to be sweet, but it sounds
are you
pathetic.
It doesn't. Well, it does a bit. It sounds a little bit.
But the people go on YouTube and there's like YouTube couples who vlog together.
Oh wait.
And then they go like, "Oh, I ship."
We don't do that. Can I make that clear?
Yeah, you do. I've seen it, mate. I've seen your. Oh, we're just doing a little song together.
Okay, we do one song.
We're so adorable, aren't we? Look, we're so in love, and we're smiling at each other.
Fucking paranoid that that was the way that would be perceived. We did never fucking.
That was where,
we did not kiss. Let's make that fucking clear.
You did more than kiss on that video. I don't know if you knew that the video was
rolling,
but you uploaded the whole thing. You should probably check. It was
trimmed.
It was about 2 hours long. Very impressive, but it was about 2 hours
definitely
long. Was. I think 4 minutes of song and an hour and 56 minutes of things I'll never unsee. John Long. So. Make it private, unlisted, I would. But then also send me the link once you've done that.
I'll make it unlisted.
Do not delete. The other thing we talked about was, I think you described it as your failure at the Musical Comedy Awards.
Failure?
You won. What did you win? You came...
Oh, I came third, thank you very much.
Well, that's all right.
With the judges. They thought I was the third best one there on the night. Three people out of
second best loser, yeah.
Yeah, the six judges who were there, of the 500 audience members, the six judges, they said I was third.
Mm-hmm.
The other 494 people collectively decided that I was the best, but that is...
Oh, because you won the, what was it?
The audience.
The audience award.
But the audience's opinion, as we all know in comedy, does not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're the sort of
what do the insiders know? What do the people who know?
Yeah,
and what are they like?
Who were the judges? Were they comedy insiders?
Brilliant
people, each and every one.
I don't know who the judges were. One of the judges is now my agent, so I'd like to think he went.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Way.
Yeah, but,
so that must have meant that the other five really didn't to get me to third.
Oh, you've got an agent now.
Yeah.
What does he do for you?
Cups my genitals.
Oh, is that what they do?
And tells me.
So whenever anyone says,
"I'm going to be a star," whispers it in my ear.
Oh, so when these people say, "Oh, I've got an agent now," that's what they mean is,
yeah, that's
testicles are getting cupped. Just
yeah. What do you think it meant?
I've never really known until now.
Well, I'd never heard of one, but he came up to me just afterwards and he said, "I'd like to be your agent." I said, "What does that mean?"
And he started grabbing at your crotch.
And he said, "It means like, come here, I'll show you." And then backstage, he went. And then I said to someone, "I've got an agent." Everyone seemed really pleased for me, so I thought it was a good thing. So I kept letting it happen,
even though you feel slightly uncomfortable.
Well, like, yeah, but then I
dirty,
yeah,
but, violated.
Yeah, but then everyone else, when they talked about agents, seemed so pleased about them, like they're a good thing. So I just thought it must be right. It's good for your career, apparently. I'm not sure how it translates, but
are you sure all of the agents,
all the ones that he keeps bringing round, they all?
So you've got how many?
Well, he's like my agent, but then he acts as kind of like a facilitator for all these other. He says gentlemen.
Yeah. Casting directors.
Yeah, they're all called. John, I think. Anne, or something like that. And they come in. Johns. They come in. All of them. And they come.
They're
in.
All called John. Oh, I see.
Well, that's what a collective term.
Oh, the. Oh, I see. Yeah.
So I guess that they must be all called that.
Yeah.
And then they come in and and they all tell me I'm going to be such a big star. They're all slightly different, but variations.
A plethora
of,
sexually humiliating acts.
And, well, he says he doesn't like to make it sexual. It's not about sex. It's about making career.
It's about orgasm.
It's about branding.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of thing.
Branding.
Yeah, there was one guy that was his thing. And it was very hot. Sore.
Ouch.
I don't know if it's going to fade or not.
What does
it like a tattoo?
What does it say?
Says you're going to be a star, and then it has a star.
Oh,
in the middle.
That's sweet.
Actually, quite cute, really. But
I think you're being routinely sexually exploited, John Long. I'm sorry, I'm just going to come out and say it.
How dare you? The people off the curb are wonderful. It's not them.
How dare you disgrace the name of Addison Cresswell like that?
I don't. Don't know what I'm talking about, mate.
So you're the audience award winner. You're the sort of Mrs. Brown's boys
of musical comedian.
But it's they're rich.
Yeah,
they're rich.
Yeah, they're happy, aren't they?
Yeah, sitting in their mansions. Sure, I haven't contributed anything of any sort of creative worth whatsoever. But the idiots, they sure. I'll lap it up.
I'm not. I was chuffed about it. People keep the only reason why I wouldn't ever be. People go. People. I say it like it's a brilliant win for me.
Of course it is.
I was chuffed.
I'm only kidding.
I know, no, but this is the thing. Wonderful. I say it. Who asks me? I went, okay, yeah. Third. And they go, brilliant. I go, and I got the audience one. And they go,
it's
hey,
terrific.
And it's only when they started saying, do you know what? Don't forget about the judges. The audience are the real.
Oh, I see.
They started saying that a lot. I go, hey.
Don't you worry about
matter.
It. Yeah.
Who cares if the judges think you're terrible? And then like, hey, just because the judges have ceased to see you as any kind of a
legitimate
prospect yeah. in the comedy world does not, and he just was getting that
just because all of the yeah. critics in the comedy industry have decided you're terrible
that you,
just because you've been blacklisted from every single publication and dismissed, thrown into the recycling bin of history, the Jordan, audience still like
I was a chortle who's not.
Musical comedian John Long has come with some loves and hates.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So lay it on me, big fella.
I'm going to go for hate first.
Oh, just like you.
Dancing.
You hate dancing?
But I don't hate dance or people
right.
dancing.
You like you
the physical,
dancing.
The physical art of dancing and more specifically being made to dance or trying to, or that feeling of people going.
Come on.
And dance.
Come on, we're all
and
dancing.
And not taking me seriously.
Join in.
When I tell them that would literally be my least favourite thing to do right now in the entire world. They go, no.
It is one of those things.
I try and be really specific and go, I promise you I'm not even exaggerating, where that would be I would hate doing that and hate every second of it. And they still go,
Come on, because
I enjoy it. And empathy is not something I can get on board with.
I think the thing is that for people that love dancing, dancing feels so great.
I know.
That they can't believe that anyone doesn't deep down really want to have a boogie.
I know, I get it. But then you've got to empathise. But there's things I do that people don't.
Dance is as old as time, John Long.
Yeah, but I get that from playing music, because that's something I can do.
Yeah, because you're showing off and all eyes are on you.
No, because I think dancing people, I desperately wish I could dance. And I watch people that can dance. And I went out with a girl once who was a dancer and really into it, and took me to go and see a bunch of dance, at first kind of reluctantly, but then actually going, it's fucking amazing. If it's the right stuff, obviously there's a lot of shit contemporary dance, but there's some amazing stuff and I could totally appreciate it. And I watch people that can dance with utter envy. But
well, you know what you need to do?
What's that?
Is focus on the guy who or girl who is dancing despite being shit. There's always one on the dance floor. Just focus on them and go, I'm better than that jackass. Like, if anyone's embarrassing themselves,
do you dance?
Relentlessly, John. Don't you know? I'm always hitting the dance floor.
I don't know. I can't tell you because
Bettesworth.
I've only known you.
Come on now.
I've only known you.
He's
sort of
legendary.
Modern, confident you, who I can imagine actually probably dancing.
Struts his stuff. Big time. Every weekend, I'm down the clubs. Infernos.
I've been made to go dancing.
Clapham
I've been made
High
to go
Street.
Specifically out dancing, and it was the most horrible experience of my life.
Whenever I walk in, they're like, Ollie's here! Woo!
Yeah. I could dance if I was drunk or on something like, you know, party drug, whatever.
Yeah, take some party drugs.
Sober dancing. Well, the people that do go sober dancing, I don't know. So it's horrible. So I'm standing there, and everyone's sort of drunk and going, come on, dance.
But don't you think just for the ease, just do it, mate?
Yeah. I do a lot sometimes, and
they
fucking hate it.
Yeah, why? Because you feel self-conscious.
Yeah, hugely.
I had an experience when I was at university. I was always like that.
Yeah.
All the way until I was 19. Yeah. I just hated it.
And then you learnt to break
dance. Mortified it. Mortified. It's funny you should say that. That's a different story.
Oh.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
It's very intriguing. But no, the experience I'm talking about is, all the way till 19, I hated it. And I would always, any event where I was dancing, I would avoid the dance floor as much as possible. I'd stand awkwardly over to the side, and my mates would be dancing. Come on, Ollie, come on. And the more they insist, the more embarrassing and mortifying it is for you to go, no. And you feel like such a fucking loser.
Yeah.
You feel like you're ruining the party for everyone, and yet you are unable to do anything about it. I empathise. But I had an experience at university where I was just meeting all these new people, desperate to make a new first impression, because I was like, everyone in London, that's ruined now. This is the new me. I've burned all those bridges.
Yeah.
Fine. but this is the new me. I'm going to be Mr. Popular on campus.
Yeah.
And then they all started, come on. We're in a group down the student union. They all started walking towards the dance floor. I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? And then just being forced by sheer kind of just the situation, it would just be so awkward to have left at that point.
Yeah.
That they just forced me to start dancing. Yeah, I'm sure really badly.
At that point, I've danced.
And then I actually started to enjoy it. And then
that's where we differ.
Ever since, you just try and stop me.
You just try and stop me. Do you really, being serious now?
No, I don't dance anymore.
You don't dance.
There was a window. A university window, I think, out of necessity, because it's all about, oh, we're going clubbing.
I was the same.
So then I actually...
You enjoyed it?
Enjoyed it, yeah.
I enjoyed it when I was on, like,
and then,
massively high on drugs, but I've never... Or drunk, really drunk.
Yeah, I'm sure we were pretty drunk.
But I don't mind that. So
it's
that was
uni. I could probably got the beers in.
Some of us had
ledge.
Some fortified wine. And we were feeling quite risque. And we went for a boogie. That happened all the time, mate. I used to go clubbing because there was no clubbing where I grew up. And so clubbing was this thing that you just heard about and seen all these films with, like... What's that film with that young Danny Dyer and all them lot, and they're all taking pills and like a...
Lads. It's just called Lads.
No, and the guy watches Bill Hicks before he goes out clubbing and he's like, fuck. Do you not know that film I'm talking about? Oh, God, okay. There's lots of these sort of 90s films about mad for it, up for it, going out clubbing. Lots of clubbing. And it
so
was
cool.
Spaced. It was all this stuff about clubs. And there wasn't clubs. There was one club in where I grew up and it was just a more like a sports bar full of utterly reprehensible twats. And so... I never went, so I went to London and thought, let's go clubbing, and tried it, and could do it when I was really drunk or whatever, but dancing sober, I hate it so much.
Would
people,
it help?
Why are people insistent about that? I would never say to some, but then again, I do try and make people sing a lot, and some people said to me, I don't like being made to sing. I do try and make people sing along to things quite a lot in my, sort of when I do my act.
Yeah, and then you single someone out who's not joining in.
I do. Do you know that?
That's much worse.
I know. I sort of say I can see you not joining in. But the thing I think about singing in unison is that you can just mouth the words. I would do that.
Why don't you do that? The equivalent of that in dance?
I do. I sort of bop it. And
what
occasionally
would that be? Mime?
No, I sort of stand around and I kind of nod my head and go, yes, I'm acknowledging that there is a beat.
There's a tempo
somewhere.
Yep.
And
trying to keep it.
Uh-huh. And I got it. I've got a sense of rhythm. I know when that tempo is, but I am not going to move my limbs in a creative way to accompany that music. I'm not going to do it.
Would it help if we started to have a little bit of a boogie now?
A little bit of a boogie now? No, it really wouldn't. I like it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's kind of
still no limb movement.
It's actually the moment it's enforced, which makes it all the more horrible that I single people out for it. But I don't know. I think it's
I think it's startlingly hypocritical.
It probably is, as most things are. But everything is, isn't it?
Why don't you go to classes?
Oh, do you know what?
Like I did.
You did not.
I went to breakdancing classes.
You went to breakdancing classes.
I did.
You promise?
For love, John Long.
We fell in love with a breakdancing lady from...
No, I this isn't creepy. This isn't creepy. I'm just going to say that to begin with.
The teacher?
No. One of the ladies that I was living with at university in the first year. She... That's not... It's not creepy.
Creepy.
And she... I learned that she was going to go to breakdancing classes on campus. So I thought, if I go... She'll think I'm really cool and open-minded because it's so unlikely that I would go to breakdancing.
You did that. I'm so impressive you did that.
And maybe it will give me a chance to walk with her solo. We'll walk together. Makes sense. We live together.
That's kind of beautiful.
She can't deny that we should walk together. She'll be trapped. And very sweet. And then I thought that would be perfect. I'll get a chance to get to know her. She'll get to know me. We'll fall in love. It'd be very romantic.
Yeah.
And then my fucking housemate went, oh, yeah, I'll come along to breakdancing as well. Yeah, that sounds fun.
What?
So then the three of us went.
And you pick up on what was going on?
Fucking cock-blocking cunt. But so then, I went to breakdancing.
And was he amazing at it and you were really bad at it?
No, quite the opposite.
I
took to that like a fish to water, my friend. You never seen my breakdancing skills?
No. Can you pop?
I can pop and I can lock. I can do both. I can do both of them. Sometimes simultaneously.
That's true.
I call it a plock. But I did, nonetheless, get the girl.
That's, did you really?
It was a happy ending. I dated her for 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Oh my God. There you go. Must be good at breakdancing.
Super sweet romantic Ollie story there for you. Not at all creepy or stalky. I'd like to add.
Did she know that you... Yeah,
I told her.
You told her, yeah.
Yeah.
But you didn't tell her like that, though, did you?
I told her. I was like, I told her. I watched you sign up for breakdancing from a distance.
So you were one of those people who went to university, found a girl in the first term, and went out with her for the entire...
Oh, yeah.
Term of uni, and then broke up immediately afterwards.
Well, yeah, because she went back to Sweden, and I didn't.
Swedish. Gosh, you're such a cosmopolitan lover.
I sure am. Swedish.
Only the white.
My current girlfriend is Italian.
Yeah, another.
Okay, and I get both times when people say, ask about my girlfriends. Mm-hmm. But on both occasions, I felt somehow as though I'm bragging.
Yeah.
By mentioning that, oh, she's Swedish, or oh, she's Italian, because I feel like I've had a lot of comments from people who, when I've mentioned that she's from Sweden or she's from Italy, in this case...
Sweden and Italy, in both two cases, in a very old-fashioned sense, are two countries that are associated with beautiful women.
Well, exactly, that's what I mean. So, and I had a lot of comments like that, where people go, oh, dating a Swedish lady, huh? Ooh, ooh. And I'd be like, joke's on you, ooh. They're both fucking dogs, mate. You don't... Just because, don't be racist, just because they're from Sweden and Italy... Doesn't mean they're super sexy.
Your girlfriend is beautiful.
I'm a super cool feminist guy who doesn't mind dating despicably ugly women.
You're terrible. Given the disparity between you. I thought and your you were. I
was. That was a round of applause moment, John Long. You're making me feel bad.
It was a wonderful twist.
That was a hero post. That was a live hero post, and I feel like
the subject's too close to.
You didn't appreciate
too
it.
Too close to home.
Yeah.
You're shitting where you're eating.
I should add, I love my girlfriend very much.
You should fucking chew that.
She's delightful and wonderful in every way. Disclaimer over. So, what's the next topic? Dancing.
Dancing. Yeah.
We've done that. Dancing. I mean, what are we? How
it'd
we?
Be funnier than it was,
how
to
we
be
gonna?
Honest.
How we gonna solve it?
I'm gonna solve it. Just don't.
Just bloody do it. Get over yourself.
Don't make people fucking.
No one cares
dance.
Whether you're shit at dancing. No one's looking at you, mate. No one gives a shit.
I care. I don't. Yeah. And in general, that feeling of. Do this thing. Do it.
Yeah.
People aren't very good judge of when people genuinely want to and don't want to. And I think that actually, I MC quite a little bit. And it's one of the things I tried my hardest on to get better at was learning when to talk to someone and when not to talk to someone.
Yeah.
When to sense that someone doesn't want to be talked to.
Yeah.
And I think that was always my priority. And I think I've gotten quite good at it because I've been in comedy situations, obviously, before I ever did comedy, for a few years before I started it, just watching. Quite a lot, and so I know exactly how horrible it is to be picked on when you're. Sometimes I did want to be picked on, and I enjoyed it, and other times I didn't. I wasn't in the mood for it, and it was a horrible experience. And a couple, so I'm sort of aware of that, and try and get good at it. But some people are fucking blind to it, and they go, "Come on, oh, you're gonna love it when you get up." And then someone is giving them all the signals of how can you not see that this is the
get
most
off me,
touch me again, and I'll
kill
you. And they don't pick up on it.
John Long, what's your love choice?
My love choice. Well, I was trying to think of my love choice because we've done too many hates, haven't we?
It's been very hateful.
So I've got a few things that I love here. So the first one is women's rights. Then I've got equality.
Yep. All right.
And then I've got...
It's ruddy good equality, isn't it?
People from foreign countries. I really love those.
All of them?
Yeah. Just love everyone.
Arabs?
Yeah, especially... Yep. they spring to mind immediately. That's a joke about Arab Springs there. Anyway.
Yep. That's why you get paid the big bucks.
Big bucks. Anyway, that was a good little bit, though. Did you see what's there?
I saw.
I thought about that while you were having a wee.
Yeah, I was having a poo.
Okay.
Well, I mean, are women's rights... what do you love about them?
I was doing a bit there. But I do... It's not. It's just joking. It's not on my list.
It's just a bit, yeah, you don't love
but
it.
But it's not something I would feel I comfortable you. Going on about at length.
Your history with the men's rights activism movement's well documented, John Long.
I'm just saying.
I've seen you on the message board of Return of Kings plenty of times.
Return of Kings, what's that?
Oh, it's a terrific website, full of really staggering examples of masculinity. Posting about kind of the return of traditional masculine roles and how women be bitches and how men are terrific and how they should dominate the world and dominate women.
It's like a John McCruick kind of.
Yeah, it's a kind of. I think flag. It's. Yeah, it's kind of mixed in with the kind of pickup artist scene. You know these guys, these douchebags.
Yeah, it's the guy that. Was had his like talks cancelled because he'd once advocated defended rape. Or
I
something.
Think his name was Julian LeBlanc.
I'm doing
or
massive.
Like that.
That's, I'm throwing my own words. I don't know enough about the subject to accuse this man of advocating rape. I don't know if he genuinely did or not. But that was a headline I saw.
There was a pickup artist. I think his name was Julian LeBlanc. Maybe Julian something else. But anyway,
it was his job to teach guys how to pick
up lonely guys who can't talk to people in general, let alone women, how to kind of brainwash them a bit.
Right.
And there was a video that went round at the time that he was being considered for entrance into the UK to do a series of talks, where he was basically saying it's great being in Japan because, you know, as like a white man, you're kind of dominant. So I was literally just going up to these Japanese women, and they're too timid to do anything about it. You can literally just grab them and pull them to you. And they do nothing about it. They're just kind of, oh, and he did that kind of impression. It was like, it's great over there. You are just like, you feel like a king.
Unbelievable. Like, are you exaggerating? Is that what you said?
That's exactly what he said. And then there was video clips of him doing it.
Customs denying him entry.
That was videos of him going up to women and just grabbing them and just holding them to him.
There's videos of him doing it?
Oh, yeah, sexually assaulting women, yeah.
Oh, my word. Yeah, okay. Well, then, yes.
Big scumbag. But that's your hero.
How have you spun that? No, yes, that kind of person. That's someone I. That's one of my hates. We'll talk about that later. But but there was if you want any kind of satire on that, I'd refer you to that. What's that fucking brilliant thing that Charlie Brooker does? The Black Mirror. He did that great Christmas episode where they did a whole segment about that, where the guy from Mad Men, John, what his name is, you know,
John Hamm. Yeah,
John Hamm plays like a charming pickup artist guy.
Oh, does he? I don't remember that.
One goes wrong. He's in the earpiece of some guy going on a date.
Oh, I see.
It goes horribly wrong. I won't spoil it, but it's really good sort of send up of that kind of those people. Anyway.
So, what are your loves?
One other thing. Well, I love what we just doing then, where even talking about things that you love as a result, because I probably like you focus. Or my natural inclination would be to focus on the hates.
Mm.
And I think my natural sense of humour is sometimes piss-taking or just a voice that's annoying and that's... But that doesn't lead to any kind of a sort of
But it's not, it's not particularly funny to say, oh, this thing's awesome, isn't it?
It's not funny to.
No.
And I think... But doing those kind of take piss-takes and things are all well and good and very funny. But like anything, it's not funny if you do it all the time. And I know a lot of people who... I was as well, just someone who spends their entire life going around pointing out what's shit and what's shit, just mainly probably because you're unhappy. But I think focusing on what's good, just like going, have you seen, rather than going, oh, do you see that program? It was absolute shit. It was bollocks. I don't know why that got commissioned. And just having those conversations over and over again, just talking about, did you see that? That's unbelievable. This is great. Just focus on the good things. And the same with generally, like with people and things like that. When you discuss other people, that's the best way of doing it. So, what's really good about going out with Katie is we have a lot of friends in common, and so we never gig together, but we always go off to do separate gigs because we're both musical comedians. We're never on the same bill. So very often, the way our lives work is that we both go off to separate gigs and come back in the evening, quite late, and go to bed. And as we're going to bed, discuss what's been going on that evening.
Yeah,
how'd it go? And we have lots of people in common, and we talk about who we saw and whatever. And Kay's a very positive person, and I'm trying to be as well. And I think naturally I'm becoming more one. And I think I am naturally like that. Just sort of talk about who's good, who did you see that was really good, and who's gotten better.
Mm.
As opposed to when I was probably back when I started, when I was just drinking loads and hanging out with people and just sitting around talking about why are they successful, they're shit, and this.
Yeah.
So just the very concept of just sitting around and going, what do you love? Should be much more the focus. Although it isn't funny, isn't it? It's true that.
And it also,
compliments aren't funny, obviously.
It sort of makes you vulnerable in conversation as well.
It does, but
because if someone else says, "No, what are you talking about? That's shit, mate." Then you're like, "Oh,
I know."
And you feel a bit humiliated, like, "Oh, I stuck up for that thing and everyone thinks it's shit."
And I hate myself when I do it, and I do sometimes do it where I go, "So this is brilliant, isn't it?" And someone goes, "I thought it was shit." Well, yeah, obviously it's shit, but
yeah.
You quickly backtrack because you feel like you've put yourself out there and you feel vulnerable.
Mm.
I try not to do that now. Stop doing that. I have a courage and conviction to go, well, I liked it.
Yeah.
It happened the other day, I said something like, someone said, I fucking hate Amy Schumer now, ever since I saw that train wreck film.
Yeah.
Which was, and they made some like, oh, it was a very aptly known film, if you ask me. And, like, and they were just being a cunt about it.
It wasn't very good, but you don't need to make a terrible.
I saw it in the cinema and I thought it was, I mean, I'm fine. You know, I've got a very low attention span and film needs to be very good.
Mm.
Or just be, like, be quick-paced enough that it just keeps your attention going. And I thought it was fine. It did the job perfectly well. There was a laughter points throughout it, and I don't think it broke the bank, but I thought it was a relatively funny film.
Mm.
And I sort of said, I liked it. Just because, for whatever reason, if I was in a good mood or bad mood, I went to see it in the cinema and I had a good experience.
Yeah.
And someone was just, I couldn't believe that I didn't like it. But then that happens in reverse to me, that I saw Ghostbusters in the cinema, the recent one.
Yeah.
After we did the last podcast. And I found it so ridiculously unfunny. I wanted to walk out.
It's very sexist.
And then it's very sexist. And then my flatmate loved it, he said.
Oh.
And I couldn't understand. But then I just had to go, oh, fair play, because it's just that. It's obviously that subjective. So that whole thing about when you're a teenager and you walk around and you judge people, like, how can you like that band? How can you that subjective?
But I think what's happening thing. There sometimes you can understand the quality in something, and you just don't like it yourself, and that doesn't panic people as much when that happens, because they can just go, okay, well, they like it, I don't. It's just a taste thing. I'm not really into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think what people get into this where they think something is so bad. They think something is so without merit and so clearly terrible and so clearly failing at all of the things it's trying to do.
I totally swap out that Ghostbusters.
When you find somebody who didn't see it that same way, it's actually what's going down on a subconscious level is your perceptions about the entire universe are being challenged, because suddenly there's no empathy. You think, how on earth could they see that and I saw it and we... think, like, it's so clearly awful.
I know.
How can everyone? And it makes it worse if everyone's saying how great something is,
and you're
the one person who just doesn't see it. You see you see an idiot flailing about on stage saying terrible shit jokes, and everyone's going, "It's just the future of comedy." Or whether it's a film that everyone's, it's this deeply profound masterpiece, and you thought it was a schmaltzy piece of shit that was terribly shot. It's not as simple as just
specific examples you had in your mind just then.
Yeah, it was John Long and Schindler's List. It's not just as simple as disagreeing about a film. When it gets to that level, you feel actually...
I know, and actually what, like, we need to do in those situations...
The fundamentals of perception
are
being thrust asunder. That's why when you lose something and you're sure you put it down, you get into a panic, not because you think you've lost that thing, but because you know you put it there. And everything about your frame of reference in the world tells you it should be there, and now those laws don't apply.
Yeah.
So now you're thrust into this existential nightmare where you're kind of in the abyss. What's real anymore?
Well, I might
be overreacting.
I think you're overthinking it slightly.
When I lose my keys each and every time.
That is what's going on under the surface in a microsecond, all that, what you've just explained.
No.
But it's
for
true,
at least a few hours, I would say.
The whole bus journey back from the cinema, I was on my phone going through reviews of it, because I just wanted to see if people were reacting the same way as I was. And I was sort of really shocked to find on one of those aggregator sites that a lot of them were very positive, and a lot of them were, but then I just found one. There was one guy who just saw it exactly as I did, and he just said kind of all the thoughts I thought, and I just, well, okay, as long as someone else,
and then he
like
felt
that,
relieved. There's one other guy
like, it was not just being a twat or something, but that's it. But what you need in those situations is quickly move on and just find the things you do have in common. Well, there will be things like that.
The Ghostbusters film is a particular sort of specific example of this because it's tied in with all sorts of emotional subjects.
Well, there's an image going on.
If you feel like you didn't enjoy it, there's probably a small part of you that's like, if everyone else enjoyed it, maybe I didn't enjoy it because there was women in it.
Well, I think what they
were... It's tied in... You know that that's not the case.
No, I know it's
but
not.
But because it's tied in with all of that stupid controversy...
But I think this was the problem, is that they kind of raised that issue by marketing it as... I don't think they did this. Whoever decided to market it as a female remake of Ghostbusters was the words used all the time.
Mm.
So that those were the things you need to know about it. So it was always going to be sent up in this kind of way. But yeah. I don't understand why they didn't do what they already have done, or carry on doing what they've been doing successfully anyway, which is make films like Bridesmaids, which is a similar team, certainly similar actresses, and I think similar writers and directors and things, which is create an incredible movie, which is just an original movie. Because why we've proven time after time that remaking a classic is always a terrible endeavour.
Yeah.
Pink Panther was fucking wretched. Steve Martin has a fetish for trying it and failing at it. He's done it with Pink Panther, with fucking, what is it called? Sergeant Bilko.
Bilko, yeah.
He's done it left, right and centre. And you just think, don't touch them, because it's never going to be classic. Because Ghostbusters, even in retrospect, isn't as good as I remember it. Because it was of a time and it was a memory. And I don't want to rewatch it. I don't want to read whatever. I want to see those people come up with brilliant new stories that can be the new thing that people are interested in. Because otherwise, it's just going to be compared. And they had the originals in it saying lines, and they had Bill Murray come, and it just felt, I don't know, there's all sorts of reasons I didn't like it as a film, just cause mainly because I didn't find it funny.
Yeah.
And I was just quite offended at watching some of the most talented comic performers be so bad.
Yeah.
Because we know that Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig? Those two in particular, but also the woman from Saturday Night Live.
Leslie Jones.
Who does the Justin Bieber thing, that's fucking brilliant. And... there's
Leslie Jones
as well.
I don't know the other one.
They're both in SNL and I don't watch SNL. But particularly Melissa McCarthy and Chris McGill, I've seen be hilarious. To watch them be so unfunny was really hard to... I was just like, why didn't you just make another film that was original script? Like, you made Bridesmaids. Why?
Sure.
Why remake her? Because it was doomed to failure. But then people were just going, oh, it's great. And I feel there might be a part of them that's going, let's just say it was a success so we can mark it in history as a success and move on and no one has to watch it. I guess some people are really enjoying
it. There was a lot of stupidity by the kind of alt-right and the men's rights types online.
Oh, that website where they, I bet they went mad for it.
Of course, they loved it. Yeah, of course. They were huge fans of Return of Kings. Finally, yes, a female Ghostbusters. But there was a lot of conspiracy theory bullshit about people being paid off to write good reviews of this film because it was clearly just terrible and everyone took it against
it. Oh, really?
Which is clearly stupid.
Yes.
But what I will say is I certainly, reading some of the reviews, and I haven't seen the film, so I'm not passing comment on whether it's good or not.
It's dilled.
But
wow. It's I don't know.
I will say that everything I've seen from it, the trailer, the preview scenes, whatever, has seemed very flat, but it's not fair to judge it on that.
It is very flat.
But I feel like one thing that is undoubtedly, from the reviews I've read anyway, undoubtedly affecting some of it, is the unwillingness to take against a movie that's been so unfairly pilloried by some such unsavoury characters.
Way too much expectation put on its shoulders.
I saw one that had the headline, "They ain't afraid of no misogynists," and it was like, okay, so I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
You want to do a
this
nice
is us proving,
yeah.
And that was it. It was exactly. Far too much expectation heaped on its shoulders.
It's like, let's prove that women can carry a movie like this. We don't need to prove it. We already know they can. It's been proved a lot of times.
Currently making projects which are proving
this,
and actually this is distracting them from quite a good project that could have been working.
Yeah.
Because I watched, there was another one before it, which actually had Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy in it.
The Heat.
The Heat, which was just fucking hilarious for that kind of thing.
Oh, really?
The blockbuster kind of cinema thing that is very broad, comedy snobs would be like, it's very broad, but it's funny. That's the thing. It's
funny. Only thing I know about that movie is that they did a fucking horrendous Photoshop job on Melissa McCarthy for absolutely no reason on the poster. If you see the poster for The Heat, Melissa McCarthy has just been transformed into an entirely different woman.
She's just completely
unrecognisable. It's not the fault of the film or of the stars, clearly, obviously.
No, because the directors of the films don't have any say in that.
And it's just one of those things. It's like, even in a film that seems to be at least partially about female-fronted...
Melissa McCarthy is a big woman because we've seen her in movies. We know what her body
shape
is.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to go... She's
fit. I'm going to go see that.
She's lost how many stone? I'm in.
One of the most ironic things I read about the new Ghostbusters movie was that Chris Hemsworth steals the show.
Well,
I was like, it's all been about how it's all at, like, a women cast, a female cast. I was like, that really is not the thing to be saying about this film.
The device they use with that character is the most successful thing in it, which is...
that he's a ditzy blonde. That
they've gender reversed. That he's a hottie. And it seems ridiculous at first. And then what you do is go...
Oh, but they do
actually,
that all the time.
All of these words, they wouldn't be seem ridiculous coming out of a female's voice if this film was made in a different way. So, as a device, it was the most successful thing. It just seems so horrible to phrase it in that way and be so callous as to say, the only good thing about it, that fucking male actor.
Yeah.
But I sort of see that why he shines in that respect. But it's all of it. He seems to be the only one that doesn't seem to care. Because he's quite good at... because he's playing ditzy, he's playing irreverent.
Yeah.
But the others are just so concentrating on, let's make this funny.
Mm.
And, like, the one from SNL who plays the mad scientist is being, like, over the top mad all the time. To go, I'm the mad scientist one. Aren't I funny? And you're going, well, I know you're funny. I've seen you be funny. But this is
bilge.
Relax. Mm. Relax. Because I'm sure the script wasn't the problem. Everyone involved in it has a track record of being very good at their jobs. And he's the top guy. He's the director that did... Ghostbusters. The people that wrote it was the gut director and a woman who's a very massive history of successful script writing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone involved in it just clearly didn't have any fun doing it because everyone was saying the entire time, this is almost like that tennis match they did between Billie Jean King and a guy to go, everyone made it Battle of the Sexes. Who wins here is a superior gender. And I was like, why have you made it that? That's weird. And talking to Katie on the way back, I hadn't seen Bridesmaids at this point, and I had seen The Heat, and I said, I thought that film with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy was really good, and I've seen Melissa McCarthy be really good, and I know Kristen Wiig is very funny. And so she says, well, you need to watch Bridesmaids then. I said, yeah, please. So we watched it and kind of like a palate cleanser. That night, even though it was late, got home and stayed up late watching Bridesmaids, just so we could reassure ourselves that these people were capable of brilliant movies.
And sounds I like you had a bit of a crisis over this film.
I just found it really upsetting that all these reviews were so positive, and I felt bad for all of the people involved.
Did you feel paranoid that you were a misogynist?
Not even a little bit. No, and I've not been vocal about it on Facebook because I'm not a twat. But if anyone's asked, I've been quick to say, don't go and see that movie. It's a very bad movie, but always quick to back that up with. However, I saw Bridesmaids afterwards, and that was amazing.
Do you see what's happened, John Long?
What's that?
We started a section talking about how lovely it is to talk about how great things are and how awesome things are and how enjoyable things are. And,
and
we've ended up talking about how shit Ghostbusters is.
Yes, but I think it's important to
about 25
about why,
minutes.
But then also always, always, always backing up why they can be good. They're good things as well. The Bridesmaids is backing it up there all the time.
Mm. And that's your shield. You're using a bridesmaid shield.
Well, I more for myself than anyone else, not to defend myself against, to defend them, because I feel bad for them. That's the problem, is that I'm sure they don't.
I'm sure they're fine. Don't worry about it. I'm sure they're happy.
I know they're not. I'm not. Oh, fuck off. You. Such a worm.
Well, John Long, we've come to the end. How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel nice. Been a very nice host.
Nice?
Yeah, you offered a tea and a coffee. That's all I didn't require. I never really take people up on it very often, but just being offered it, I think, is...
Oh.
So you did that.
You're welcome.
But undermined Tagore Hoshi being, because you haven't done that the entire way through, and you've just saved that up for the for the last link.
Just good timing.
Oh, okay. Oh, you have been chugging some.
I am a
fizzy pop.
I'm a pro to the end. Even my belching.
Even your belching
has good timing.
And I hope you're going to do, when I'm gone, are you going to do like a wrap on your own? Is that when you do it?
We're a bad mouth you relentlessly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're going to shout goodbye.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do an extra long one for you.
You're going to do a longest one ever.
I'm going to try and do one that that outlasts the theme tune.
Do you know how long it was, the last one?
No.
Okay.
Not time, but I'm go by the theme tune.
I realised I said that as if I knew, and you went, no.
No? Ooh. How long was it?
I don't know either. But it felt like about maybe a 30-seconder. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, we can. There's always room for improvement.
Right.
And I'll do it just for you.
Thank you.
As a special thank you for coming twice.
Twice I did. And
so you get the special commitment award.
Yeah.
The special Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast program participation award.
Yeah.
Well done, you.
Thanks.
There'll be a ceremony in 3 to 4 weeks.
When it comes out. Cool.
Thanks, John Long.
You're very welcome, Ollie Bettesworth.
Goodbye.
Bye. I'm not going to do it, really.
No. Pathetic. Thank you for listening to this episode of Ollie Bettesworth's downloadable weekly podcast programme with the lovely and charming John Long. As always, please do leave a rating or a comment on the iTunes page if you wish to support the show. But for now, I'm going to wrap up because it's been quite long enough. This one's for you, John. Good.